All right, Tabosai, say good morning. Let's begin. So today's daf is Samech Dalet 64. We're going to start at the top of the daf. We actually we left off Umishahino. So it's 2, 4, 5 lines down from the top. So remember again, we're still in the sugya, still in the subject of Moredes. Ultimately, again, of the woman who is rebellious. And just to reframe it, what we've spoken about is the idea that Moredes is not just simply that she refuses intimacy, but again, the situation of Moredes is where she says, I desire to remain married to him, but I'm dafka trying to make his life miserable. That's the situation of Moredes. So therefore, the Gemara says, still qualifying this din. But I just want to also point out, you know, the one qualification for this is, we had that if she said, ma'os alai, if she says he's repulsive to me, so she says, I don't want to be intimate with him because, lemaisa, I find him just repulsive. So then again, normally the Gemara would say, lo kai finama. That's not a case of ma'os alai, and therefore, again, we would not go ahead and diminish her ksuba. Now, we're not finished with that. We're going to have to come back to that concept and qualify that a little bit more. In any event, the Gemara says, but nevertheless, we go ahead and we actually delay the giving of the get for 12 years, so 12 months. Rashi says over here, because the hope is that maybe over the course of a year, maybe lemaisa again, that they'll be able to go ahead and reconcile. Therefore, although it sounds like we go ahead and we push this situation quickly, lemaisa, at the end of the day, we give it a little bit of time to resolve. But during those 12 months, of the year, less la mizoni mibal. She does not get mizonos. Amar Avtuvi Bar Kisna, so Avtuvi Bar Kisna said, Amar Shmuel, Kosvin Igeres Mered Al Arusa, Ve'in Kosvin Igeres Mered Al Shomeres Yavam. So we'll say Avtuvi Bar Kisna said, Name Shmuel, that we write literally a document of merit, a document of rebellion for a woman who is a Shomeres Yavam, but not, excuse me, we write a Igeres Mered. We'll say now, Igeres Mered is interesting also, we have not spoken about this before, but Igeres Mered sounds like a document that indicates that she is a Moredes. So we go ahead and rewrite this Igeres Mered on an Arusa. Excuse me. But we do not go ahead and write it for a Shomeres Yavam, for a woman who is waiting for Yibum. So the Gemara says the following. Meisei, Gemara raises a kasha. Achas li Arusa unesua. Afilu nida va'afilu chola. But yet we learned about saying the Brayso. We actually quoted this already yesterday, that the laws of a Moredes apply to every woman, to an Arusa, to an Esua, to a Nida, to a Chola, if a woman is in need, a woman is sick, and even to a Shomeres Yavam. So we'll say, remember, the Gemara just said before that we do not write this Igeres Mered, this document of rebelliousness, meaning this documentation that she is considered to be a Moredes, that we don't write it for a Shomeres Yavam, and yet here the Braisa says that Lamaisa, the laws of Moredes, do apply to a Shomeres Yavam, to which the Gemara says, Lo kasha, it's not a contradiction, Kan Shetava Hu, Kan Shetava He, to which the Gemara says, here is where he is claiming against her. Rashi says, V'hi Moredes, she is the Moredes, and Kan V'tovas he, V'hu Morid. So also what the Gemara seems to be saying over here is the following. When she is the Moredes, that's when we will write what's called this Igeres Mered. But when he is the Morid, that is when we will not write this Igeres Mered. Do Amar Rav Tachlifa Bar Avimi Amar Shmuel. Because Rav Tachlifa Bar Avimi said in Shmuel, Tava hu niskakinlo. If he goes ahead and is toveya her to get married, Rashi says, Tava hu vihi moredes. If he wants to get married, but she is refusing to go ahead and marry him. This would be the case ultimately again. This could be one of two cases. This could be the case either of Erison, and he wants to get married and she doesn't, or this could be the case of Yibum, where she's he wants to do Yibum and she's refusing. So the halacha is if he tava means he petitions her, or he petitions, not the right word, but he entreats her. Oh, good. He entreats her to go ahead and get married, and she refuses. Niskakinlo. Now, niskakinlo means we help him out. Now, but however, again, if she entreats him, ain niskakinlo. Now, look at Rashi. What does that mean? Ain niskakinlo. Lichtov la igeres merid. Lahosif al ksuvasa. So we'll say, if he wants to get married, and lemaisa she refuses, so we help him. Helping him in this context means that we will write the igeres merit, we'll draw up the documentation of her rebelliousness, and therefore, again, that'll have a financial impact on her. But if she is the one who wants to get married and he is refusing, einis kakin la, we do not involve ourselves in this, meaning that we will not write the igeres merit to go ahead and add on to her ksuba. So Mara says, okay, well, what are we talking about over here? B'mai ukimta laha d'Shmuel. So how exactly are we going ahead and setting up this case? Remember, Shmuel makes this very general statement that tava hu niskakin lo, tava hi e niskakin lo. So if he entreats her, he goes ahead and he petitions her to get married, so and she refuses. And I will say again, remember, this could either be Erisin Tenisuin or Yibum. We're going to help him out. And again, helping him out sounds like, again, we're going to diminish the ksuva amount if she refuses to comply. On the other hand, tavahi, if she wants to go ahead and move the relationship forward and he refuses, we do not write the igeres merit. So the Gemara says, well, what's the case here? So the Gemara says, b'mayokim v'loha d'shmuel, b'shetavahi, if it's a case, ultimately, again, where she is entreating him, hai kosvin igeres merit ala rusa, so if we're talking about a case where she is demanding of him that he has to move this relationship forward, either from Irisin to Nisuin or in Yibum, and Lemaisa again, he is refusing, then again, we shouldn't use the Lashon of Kosvin Igeres al Arusa, but rather it should be Kosvin Igeres la Arusa. To which the Kuzma said that's just a syntax issue. Then in that case, again, where she is the one who's driving this process, the Igeres Merit would not be written on her, but rather the Igeres Merit would be written for her. So the Gemara says, Halo Kashya, Tani La Arusa. So the Gemara says, Inakinam, you're right, change the verbiage to Kosvin Igeres Merit La Arusa. So Maishna Shomeres Yavam Delo. So why is it that in the case of Shomeres Yavam, that Rabosa, if she is waiting for Yibum, and he refuses to do anything, that we do not go ahead and write the Igeres Mered and increase the value for Ksuba, the Amrin Allah that we say to her, Zil, go, literally get out of here. Lo Mifkarta, you are not commanded regarding Piria Verivia. And we'll say, now this is a very strange Gemara, because remember, again, we saw in our days in Yavamis that we absolutely do force the husband's hand to act. We do not let him allow this state to remain in limbo. But what the Gemara does seem to be saying over here is that if she comes forward to complain that he's not doing anything, and what she's demanding is that ultimately the value of her ksuva be increased because she feels that he is a more, that he is rebelling, quote-unquote, against her, that Lamaisa, we do not honor that claim, says the Gemara. Why? Because at the end of the day, the holdup of the Yibum may be an inconvenience, but it's not preventing her from performing the mitzvah period of Arivia. Why? Because she's not obligated in the mitzvah period of Arivia. Ella Arus, the Gemara says, Arusa nami name Azil. So when Rabbi says, why don't I say the same thing in the case of Arisin? So let's say, let's say the couple did Arisin and he's not yet doing Nisuin, she wants to do Nisuin already, she comes to Beis Din and she says, listen, he's being morate, right? He's rebelling against me in that he's not going ahead and furthering this marriage. Therefore, you should increase my ksuva. Why don't we go ahead and tell her also, Zil, go from here. Why? Lo mifkarta. Because at the end of the day, you are not mitzuvan priyavaribya. This may be an inconvenience for you, but lemaisa, it's not impacting your mitzvah performance. Ela beba'a machmas taino. Rather, the Gemara says, is actually very interesting, where she shows up in Beis Din and she says, look, the reason why I am looking to move this marriage forward is not because I want to perform a mitzvah, but rather why? I have a very utilitarian purpose for wanting to have children. The Amar ba'ina chutra liyada umara likvura. Because she says, literally, I need a walking staff for my hand and a shovel for my burial. And I will say, now, what does that mean? If you look at Rashi says, chutra liyada, rotza ani shiheli ben shiachsek biyadi biziknusi. I want a son who's going to hold my hand when I'm old, v'ashayin alav, and who I could lean on, u'biyom mosi yikbareini, and when I die, that child will bury me. But so this is actually quite profound, because l'maisi, you know, Rav Shlomo Shnofel Hirsch writes about this. He says that the natural drive to have children is why, is he says two things. Number one, it's a quest for immortality. He says, man, by definition, wants to be immortal, and realizes, of course, that no matter what he does, he'll never accomplish that. But if a person has children, then lemaisa, again, they are blessed with some degree of immortality, because even when they are gone, their offspring live on. The other piece is a much more utilitarian piece, which is, I want someone to take care of me when I'm old, right? The person doesn't know if their spouse is going to live, you know, predecease them, not predecease them, but lemaisa, again, the assumption is if I have children, right? What every parent hopes is that in my old age, my children will take care of me. So the Gemara says over here that when she's in Arusa and she's demanding Nisuin, so we tell her, listen, what's the big deal? You're not mitzvah on Pir Verivya. So she says, Pir Verivya, Shmir Verivya. I'm not worried about Pir Verivya. I'm not worried about the mitzvah. I'm worried about having someone to take care of me when I'm old. And I'm not getting any younger over here. This guy, for some reason, is not going forward with the Nisuin. And therefore, I'm, so to speak, to a certain degree, what she's doing is she's suing for Nisuin. And she's saying, if he does not act, what I'm asking the Beis Din to do is to increase the value of my ksuva, to force his hand to act. So I don't understand the Gemara says, well, if that's the case, that the woman is coming forward and saying, I need to have children because I need someone to take care of me in my old age, then that claim should apply by Nisuin as well. It seems to be a valid claim. And if indeed that is a valid claim, then Lamais, if he refuses to do Yipum, then Allah Lamais, we should increase the Vayifar Ksuva as well. Elo, Idivi Idi Shetavahu. Rabbi Gemara says, no. In both cases, we're actually talking about a situation where it is the man who is trying to get her to either do Nisuin or ultimately do Yibum, and she is refusing. The Lokasha, and it's not a contradiction. Kan lachlots the kan liyabim. One is talking about a situation where the Maisa, he is trying to get her to do Yibum, and one is talking about a situation where he's trying to get her to do Chalitza. What does it mean? Rabbi Pedas, I'm Rabbi Yochanan, because Rabbi Pedas and Rabbi Yochanan, Tavalachlots, if he entreats her to go ahead and do chalitza, niskakin lo. So we go ahead and we help him out with that process. So Kitrashi, Tavalachlots, he tells her, I want to do chalitza, vehi in a road to Ella lehisyabim, and surely wants to do yibum, swastalacha, niskakin lo, we help him out, lichtov igeres mered aleho, to go ahead and write a document of rebelliousness against her. So I said, this is very interesting. So remember, again, just to go back, so a Yuvama has a ksuva. But remember, ksuva is from whose property? Whose property? Right? The deceased husband's property. But Lamaisa, what the Gemara is telling you over here is that if Reuven wants to do chalitza with his sister-in-law, and she does not want to do chalitza with him, so ultimately we'll write an igeres merit, and we will diminish her ksuva that she has from her now deceased husband. However, tavali yavim, but if he wants to do yibum, and she does not want to, then what? In niskakin lo. Then we do not help him out. And I'll both say, remember, help him out in this case means, it's very interesting, we will not label a woman as a moredes if she refuses to do yibum. Very interesting. Even though it would appear that that is a refusal of intimacy, but lemaisa, again, we will not label her as a moredes. Why? So the Gemara says, maishna liyabein delo. So why is it that ultimately, again, if she doesn't want to do Yibum, that we don't label her Morades, the Amin Alei, because we say to the guy, listen, Zil v'nosiv is a sa'achrisi. We say to him, listen, what's the big deal? She doesn't want to do Yibum with you, fine, just go marry someone else. And Rabbi Yossi, remember again, from Chazal's perspective, polygamy is permitted. So she doesn't want to do Yibum. Look, her unwillingness to go out and do Yibum with you, that, remember, at the end of the day, is really going to be her problem. She's the one who's stuck in limbo. It doesn't really impact you all that much. Go marry someone else. Ela de Amra, the issue over here is that he says back, Kevan de Agida bi lo kayahavu li achrisi. So we'll say the problem is that what's going to happen, you know, having a situation like this is like worse than using plastic tablecloths. You know, so mamish, so if you use plastic tablecloths, that compromises your shidduch possibilities. But like this, to know that I have another woman who's waiting kind of like in limbo, that ruins many shidduch possibilities, right? The notion that there's this other woman that may or may not be my wife if she chooses to yibum. See, he says, listen, no one's going to want to marry me under those circumstances. So the Gemara says, Hachanami, kevan da agida bi lo kayav wachrisi. Ela idi v'idi shetaval yabim. So therefore, the Gemara has to reframe the case again. Rather, both cases are talking about a situation where he has asked her to do yibum. So we'll say, but now we have a contradiction. Because remember again, in one case we're saying, if he asked her to do yibum and she refuses, so in that case we will write in a geres merit against her. But yet the other halacha says that we don't write in a geres merit against her. So which one is it? V'lo kasha. Oh, Kan b'mishnah rishona, kan b'mishnah shniyah. So what was kan mishnah achron, excuse me. Well, so I remember there were two iterations of the din by yibum. What were the two iterations? This nan mitzvahs yibum kodemes le mitzvah chalitza b'rishona, shayim is kavnun l'shum mitzvah. So we'll say in the beginning, the mitzvah of yibum took precedence over the mitzvah of chalitza. In other words, Rabbi, what that means is that what we'll call the halachic framework or the halachic infrastructure based in would encourage a yavam to do yibum over chalitza. They would encourage them to do. Why? Because I must say the assumption is that people are doing it for the right reason. Remember, we saw the halachic position in yavamis. There was a man damer who said that if you do yibum for anything other than the purest motivations, it's bi'ilas znus. So in the beginning, when people used to go ahead and do yibum for the right motivations, I was saying, now what are the right motivations for doing yibum? Lahakim zera l'shem achiv, that a person wants to establish offspring for his deceased brother, then we encourage a person to go ahead and do yibum. However, achshav she'in miskavim l'shem mitzvah, but now I was saying that people don't have the right kavanas. I was saying, now what does it mean not having the right kavanas? The man does yibum because he finds his sister-in-law attractive, or because lemaisa again his brother's got a lot of money, and his deceased brother's got a lot of money. And now remember, if you do yibum, you also inherit the estate of the deceased brother. So therefore, now that people don't do the shul mitzvah, amru mitzas chalitza kodemus li mitzas yibum. So then, in that case, chalitza will be called dim tibum. So Rabbi says, so therefore, again, lemaisa, it's not a contradiction. In the beginning, when Lamaisa we encouraged a man to do yibum, so if he said to the woman, I want to do yibum, and she refuses, so Bosai, so remember, and again, we have to clarify this case as well. She's not refusing by saying ma'osalai. If she says, well, you're disgusting, I don't want to do yibum with you, then remember, again, that goes back to yesterday's question, that's not called the morades. But if Lamaisa, she says, oh, I'm happy to do yibum, but I'd like to make you wait, right? Or you know, I just, you know, I feel like torturing you a little bit. So Lamaisa, again, in that kind of circumstance, then we would have, in the beginning, would have written her in Igeres Mered. But then, again, in later generations, where the motivations were no longer as pure, and therefore we discouraged yibum. So Lamaisa, again, if he still wanted to yibum, which is his right, he would still have the ability to yibum, but she did not want to. In that case, we would not write in Igeres Mered. So we'll say, so therefore, like, contemporarily, it would appear that Lamaisa, again, they would not write in Igeres Mered for a woman who did not want to do yibum. Okay, so the Gemara goes weiter. Admasai upoches. So remember, again, we saw in the Mishnah that if she is a moredes, so lemaisa again, we go ahead and we diminish the value of her ksuva. We diminish the value of her ksuva by 7 dinarin a week. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, it was seven trapikin. Trapikin. So 7 trapikin. So the Gemara says the following. My trapikin, what is this value? What is a trapik or trapik? Amar Rav Sheshes, astira. Oh, a trapik is an astira. Good. So the Rashi says over here, astira is sella medina. So it was the sella of the particular country. Vikama astira. How much is an astira? Palga de zuza. It is literally a half of a zuz. Tanya mihachi. So we have Bryce that supports. Rabbi Huda. Rabbi Huda says, shlosha trapikin, shein teisha ma'in. So Rabbi Huda says that 3 trapiks are 9 ma'in, which represents 1.5 ma'a per day. The Rabbi says, essentially, again, if you break it down, there's a 1.5 ma'a penalty for every single day that she is a moredes. Amar le Rabbi Chiya bar Yosef le Shmuel. So we'll say, so now understand how this works. So remember what the Mishnah said, that if she is the moredes, so we go ahead and we penalize her by taking off 7 dinar in a week, 1 dinar per day, or 1.5 ma'a per day. On the other hand, if he is the moreid, so what happens? We go ahead and we add on to her ksuva 3 dinarin a week, which are 3 trapik in a week. Okay, so now the Gemara asks, Umayshna ihu delo yahavinon la, ihi delo yahavinon la de Shabbos. So we'll say, so the Gemara, I'm sorry, let me read that again. So Amar le Rav Chiya bar Yosef the Shmuel. So Rav Chiya asked Shmuel, Umayshna ihu de yahavinon la de Shabbos, Umayshna ihi delo yahavinon la de Shabbos. So most of what the Gemara asks is like this: if she is the moredes, so she is essentially fined a certain amount of money for each and every day of the week, like we just said before, 1.5 ma'a per day. On the other hand, if he is the moreid, so lemaisa again, what she only essentially gets a financial fine that's equivalent of a fine of 6 days a week, but not Shabbos. So why is it that if she is the moredes, she gets fined over Shabbos, but if he is the moreid, he does not get fined over Shabbos? To which the Gemara says, "Ihi de mifchas kapachas lo mechsi kischar Shabbos. Ihu de osifu kam mosva mechsi kischar Shabbos." To which the Gemara gives a very interesting answer. When it comes to her ksuva is being added onto, if he is the moreid, we add on to her ksuva. So we'll say, so my sweet's like this. Here's the problem. If you add on to her ksuva over Shabbos, what does it look like? It looks like, again, she's generating income over Shabbos. It looks like Shabbos income. On the other hand, remember, if she is the moredes, so what's happening? The ksuva is being diminished. So the diminution of the ksuva over Shabbos does not look like schar Shabbos. Does not look like schar Shabbos. So the Gemara says, so that's answer number one. So answer number one is we can't really add onto a ksuva over Shabbos because it looks like generating Shabbos earnings, which of course are prohibited, but ultimately diminishing the ksuva over Shabbos is no problem. Now, according to that answer, what we really would like to do is, we would like to, technically speaking, go ahead and diminish we would like to add on to her ksuva over Shabbos, meaning in the case that he's the moreid, so we would say what we would like to do is be able to fine him on Shabbos as well, but we can't do that because of a halachic technicality. That's answer number one. Amar Rav Chiya bar Yosef to Shmuel, ma bein moreid lemoredes. So Rav Chiya bar Yosef asked Shmuel again the same question: why is there a distinction between a moreid and a moredes? Look at Rashi, ma bein moreid lemoredes, ma'ishna kishu moreid ino nosin ela chatzi trapik liyom. Because she moredes knows in traffic. So we'll say, so same question. Why is it, if he's the moreid, he only has to pay her essentially the equivalent of a half a traffic per day, but if she is the moredes, so she has to go ahead and pay him, or I should say, she loses the equivalent of a traffic every day from her ksuba. So the Gemara says, listen to this. Amrelate seu lemad mishuk shel zonos. Go and learn this out from the way shuk shel zonos, so we'll say, is a brothel. So how does literally the marketplace of the prostitution marketplace. So how does a brothel work? Mi socher es mi, right? Who hires who? I will say, now that's another way of saying, so at the end of the day, right, who is the one ultimately who's seeking out the services of the brothel? It's usually a man and not the woman. I will say, now what does that mean? Look at Rashi. Mi socher es mi. Havi omer ha'ish socher es ha'isha. Shma minat sa'aro meruba. So what I said, the Gemara says like this. The Gemara says that lamaisa, when a woman withholds intimacy from a man, his tsar, right, the aggravation and pain that pain is maybe the wrong word, but you know the tsar that it causes him is much worse than if he withholds intimacy from her. So remember, this is actually very interesting. So according to the first approach in the Gemara, so the tsar for both a man and whoever is the moreid or moredes is equal. And the only reason why the financial equivalents are different is, or the financial amounts, the financial penalties are different, is because it is a Shabbos issue. There's a technical issue. According to Shmuel's second reason is that no, the issue over here is that there's much greater tsar for a man when intimacy is withheld from him than there is for a woman. And as such, again, the financial penalty is worse for her than it is for him. Therefore, if she's the Moreh, this is going to be a greater financial penalty, versus if he's the Moreh, there's a lesser financial penalty. The Gemara says, Davar Acher, another possibility, is Ze Yitzra Mi Bachutz, Ze Yitzra Mi Bifnim. For the Gemara, the Gemara says, if intimacy is withheld from him, and therefore, again, literally his Yitzahara is seen on the outside. I will say, if you look at Rashi, Rashi says, Kishuyav Nikar Umiskane. If his needs are not satisfied, then he may be in a state of arousal. And I will say, remember, because of Talmudic wardrobe, so sometimes if a person was in a state of arousal, that could be seen by others, on the outside, by the outside of their garment. They didn't have tight-fitting undergarments like we have today. So therefore, again, there's an element of busha associated with this as well, that if she is a Moredes and she withholds intimacy, and therefore he goes outside in a state of arousal because his needs are not being satisfied, there's an element of busha, because there's an element of embarrassment, therefore Lamaisa, the financial penalty that he is entitled to is greater than what she is, because even if she ultimately desires him, that desire will not be apparent to anyone on the outside. Okay, says the Mishnah. Hamashe is ishto aydi shlish. And I will say, we alluded to this case yesterday. This is an interesting case that a man is supporting his wife through a third party. And I will say, what does that mean? Whatever the Messias is, he's not living with her. So because he's not living with her, he has essentially set up a household for her on her own. So this is Hamashe ishto aydi shlish. Look at Rashi. Shenosin la mizonosa bebeis apetropis. So she's living somewhere else. He has someone who ultimately oversees her needs. So I'm going to say, now the shaila is like this. When a couple is living with each other, so there's no real discussion in terms of, you know, how much food he has to give her, because he has to support her in the same way he supports himself. However, when they are not living together, so the Mishnah feels it necessary to quantify the actual amount of material support that he is obligated to give her. You have to give her at least 2 kav of wheat. This is two. These are weekly amounts. 2 kav of wheat a week. Or if it's not going to be 2 kav of wheat, it has to be 4 kav of barley. Barley is considered to be inferior. So Rabbi Yossi said that the only person who said anything about barley was Rabbi Yishmael, and Rabbi Yishmael says something about barley. Why? Because he lived close to Edom. All right, we'll say, we'll have to see in the Gemara, what does that have to do with it? I was going to say with the price of tea in China. I have to tell you something funny. This is just an aside. I don't know if I mentioned this. It's a commercial break because it's Chalom Moed. I remember one time I was in Eretz Yisrael. The television was on. I wasn't watching it, but somebody else had it on. They were watching it. So they were there. There was the show Kojak that they were. So it was English with Hebrew subtitles. And Kojak said, you know, what does that have to do with the price of tea in China? What was the Hebrew subtitle? Ma inyan shmita etzel har Sinai, right? That's what he quoted, right? Ma inyan shmita etzel har Sinai. I said, Mamish, I thought I saw Mashiach on the white donkey coming in the distance. Anyway, so we'll see, what does it have to do with the price of tea in China that he lived next to? I don't, we'll see that in the Gemara. V'nosin lo chatzi kav kitnis. He has to go ahead and he gives her a half of a kav of legumes. V'chatzi lug shemen, half a lug shemen. V'kav grogros, and a kav of dried figs, o mana de vela, or a cake of pressed figs. Vim einlo, posik lu masam peros mimakom acher. Now I'll say, if for some reason he doesn't have access to any one of these items, so he makes it up with other types of fruit. So the idea is, what the Mishnah is saying is, sometimes a husband doesn't have access to these particular types of food, and perhaps again, regionally, these types of food are not, but the idea the Mishnah is giving you are amounts. So if you need to substitute different amounts, that's fine. But these are the general amounts. And by the way, I want to point out that if you're substituting other food items, so the actual amounts may change based on the satiating or sating ability of these other items.
No basar?
I'm sorry?
No basar?
Oh, we'll get to that. Good. We'll get to that. Oh, it's in Yantav mode over here. Good, yes, we're going to get to it. Ninos in la mita, you'll see why Basar is not included in just a moment, although Gemara is going to talk about that. You have to give her a bed. Mapatz u'machatzala. So we'll say, if you look at Rashi, so there's mapatz rachmi machatzala. So we'll say, so you have to give her a bed. And mapatz and machatzalas are different types of mats. So machatzalas is a reed mat that's a little bit more stiff. And mapatz is a softer mat. So we'll discuss, we'll say, remember, mita, sometimes in the Mishnah, doesn't mean like a bed like you and I think about it. But mita very often sometimes means like a box spring. Like, you know, and therefore, again, very often, if you had this box spring, remember we had this in Moed Katan, where we spoke about, again, taking off the straps from the bed, right, in Avelus, we spoke about it. In any event, we'll see what the use of all of these items. So there's a bed, and there's a soft mat, a hard mat. The nosin la kipa l'rosha, you have to give her, and it's actually very interesting, we'll discuss this as well. Kipa Rashi says, tzif echad mishana l'shana. So really, she gets one tichel per year. So that's don't try this one at home, right? So one tichel per year. V'chagor l'masneha. Nebase, we'll see also as machlokis as to what this is going to mean. It can mean a belt or it can mean an apron. We'll discuss. Now this is a great one. Umina alim mimoid lamoid. One pair of shoes from one yomtiv to the next. One pair of shoes mimoid lamoid. Or uvikelim shel chamishim zuz mishana l'shana, and clothing a wardrobe totaling 50 zuz once a year. Ve'enos nila lo chadashim osachama v'lo shchakim imosagishamim. We don't give her new clothing in the winter. Excuse me, in the summer, or worn out clothing in the winter. Ella nosin lo kelim shel chamishim zuz b'mosagisham. Rather, Rebosa, we give her now. Rebosa, just so you understand that new clothing is stiffer, thicker, and therefore warmer. Therefore, again, we don't give her new clothing in the summer because it's going to be uncomfortable and hot. Instead, what we do is a husband gives the wife new clothing in the winter when it's warmer, and therefore she wears it over the course of the year. And by the time it comes to the summer, that clothing is already broken in. And she goes in and she wears, quote unquote, now blah saying literally means the worn out clothing, but it means that by the time summertime comes, that clothing is a little bit more broken in, and therefore she wears it then. But the worn out garments are saying, what that means is the following, that let's say, remember, so according to the Mishnah now, he's going ahead and he's giving her, essentially he buys her a new wardrobe right before the winter. She wears that clothing during the winter. By the time summertime comes in, that clothing is already broken and already thinned out a little bit. And then again, she wears that throughout the summer as well. Then comes winter time again, he buys her a new set of clothing. Now, what happens to the old set of clothing? I've also said this is interesting. So the Mishnah says the worn out clothing is hers. Now, you'll say to yourself, well, what's the chap of that? Of course, it's hers. Oh, we're going to see the Havamina is that maybe when he gives her new clothing, she has to give him back the old clothing. Why? He could sell that and maybe use those proceeds to offset the cost of her new wardrobe. Kamashmala, no, that she gets to go ahead and keep the worn out clothing as well. No sinla ma'akesef letzarcha. So he went ahead. Yes, we actually alluded to this before. He gives her a ma'a of kesef, a ma'a of silver for her needs. That's her spending money. That's her spend money. So in addition to the mazonos that he gives her, he also gives her ma kesef. Va'ocheles imo melele shabbos lele shabbos. I must say, and this is also very interesting. He eats with her, she eats with him on Friday night. So we'll say, even if a couple is not living together and he is supporting her at a separate home, on Friday nights they eat, Shabbos night they eat together. Now we'll discuss exactly what that means. If he does not give her spending money, for her needs, then ultimately she gets to keep her own earnings. Umahi osa. Then I will say, now what is she obligated to work? Now remember, again, we alluded to this idea earlier that she has an obligation to generate some level of income. So what type of income does she have to generate, or how does she generate that income? So the Gemara says, umahi osalo mishkal chamesh slaim shesi biyehuda shein eser slaim bagalil. She has an obligation to go ahead and produce the weight of 5 slaim of warp thread in Yehuda, which represents 10 slaim of warp thread in the Galil. O mishkal aser slaim arev biyehuda, or she can go ahead and produce the weight of 10 slime of weft thread in Yehuda, which are 20 slime in the Galio. So I'll say, so again, the idea is that she's, the reason why we discuss about producing thread is that because, again, that is something that can be done in the home. Meaning, even though she has an obligation to generate some level of income, Lamaisa, we do not make her generate that income by leaving the household. So the Gemara says, Hai Sameniga, if she's a nursing mother, then pochus in law mi maase adal. Then I both say we decrease the amount of money she's obligated to generate. So if she's nursing, the assumption, if a woman is nursing, she's quite literally tethered to the house and tethered to the child. So the maase, then we decrease the amount of money that she's obligated to generate. Umosifin al mazonos al. But we go ahead and we add on to her mazonos. Because remember, both say we spoke about this earlier. We spoke about this over Yantiv. That why we add on to her mazonos, why? Because a nursing mother needs to have a more robust diet. But when is this true? They will say, now when is what true? When are all of these amounts that were stated in the Mishnah true? So the Mishnah says, Ba'ani Shebi Yisrael. This is all talking about a person who's poor. They will say, now what does it mean a person who's poor? So the idea over here is Lav Dafka poor. What it's saying is a person of limited means. So here the Mishnah is telling you what your basic obligation is towards your wife. However, Aval B'mechubad, but you will say if a person is respected, which means a person has wealth, then what? Hakolafi kvodo. Then ultimately, again, he's obligated to support his wife in accordance with his particular standing. So also, we've already seen this a number of times, that lemais, again, these amounts given in the Mishnah are basic amounts. They are floor amounts, but not ceiling amounts. But lemais, if a man is wealthy, then he's obligated to support his wife in accordance with this stance. Let's just go a little bit weiter. Money mas nisin, whose opinion does our Mishnah reflect? So the Gemara says, Lo Rabbi Yochanan ben Baroka, but Lo Rabbi Shimon. So our Mishnah does not reflect the view of Rabbi Yochanan ben Baroka, nor does it reflect the view of Rabbi Shimon. Why? Disnan. This is taking us back a little bit to our Erevin days, when we speak about, again, an Erev Tchumen. So remember, again, how do you go ahead and make an Erev Tchumen? So remember, again, you have to put Mazon Shtei Sudos, right? You have to go ahead. Remember, this is taking us back a long time. That in order to go ahead, your tchum is measured by wherever your domicile is established. Home is where what? You know, so by the nations of the world, home is where the heart is, right? But by Jews, home is where your food is. So the ma'isa, again, so wherever you place your mazon shteis, wherever you place your food, that's your domicile, and that is where your tchum is measured from. So the Gemara says, Disnan, we learned, the kama shiuro, how much is the shear of Erev Tchumen, mazon shteis, seudos lechol echad ve'echad, it is the amount of food for two seudos for every person. Mazono lechol v'lo l'shabbos yirei meir. So Meir says that, but it's the amount of food that you would normally eat during the week, but not for Shabbos. Rabbi Huda says l'shabbos v'lo lechol. Rabbi Huda says no. It's amount. Now Rabbi Meir says it's the amount of food measured by a weekday meal, but not a Shabbos meal. Rabbi Huda says it's the amount of food measured for a Shabbos meal, but not a weekday meal. And both have in mind to be lean. I'm both saying this is just very interesting. Let me just show you this Rashi quickly. Rashi is miskavlin lahakel. Rabbi Meir ha'yarag yale'achol pas b'shabbos yosir min b'chol. Shayim mamshich pas l'chol amina ba'alafanav. Rabbi Meir used to eat a lot more bread during the week than he did on Shabbos and during the week. Why? Because since on Shabbos you have more courses, he would go ahead and he would eat bread with every single course. Therefore, there was more bread on Shabbos than during the week. Therefore, when Rabbi Meir wants to be mekel, Rabbi Meir says you measure the amount of food by what? By a weekday meal and not a Shabbos meal, because a weekday meal had less bread. On the other hand, Rashi says over here, Rabbi Huda haya ochel pas bechol yosir me b'shabbos shayas hayim yinei ma'adanim. Rabbi Huda, on the other hand, ate more bread during the week than on Shabbos. Why? Because during the week he would fill himself up on bread. During Shabbos, where there are more delicacies than lamaisa, what? He ate less bread. Rabbi Sino, we'll have to stop over here. Not sure. It must have been my Kojak comment that just derailed this over here. I'm going to give you a little bit of homework. Otherwise, we're not going to be able to. So I want you just to do the two dots on the bottom. So just a couple of lines for homework today. And Emir Tashem will pick up Emir Tashem Venosin Chatzi Kaf Kitnis Emir Tashem tomorrow. So tomorrow will be our regular Chalamayit schedule. Emir Tashem after the 6:30 minyan. So hopefully we'll call it Emir Tashem for around 7:30. Right, the Shukoyah.
Just find out what they look like.